Good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we have come to rejoice and be glad in it. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us, especially on an overcast, rainy day like today. Thank you for being here. And especially if you're here for the very first time, we are delighted that you've joined us. We would love it if you could find a home here. And so those of us who are here week in and week out are going to seek out faces that we don't know, and we may come up to you and introduce ourselves and welcome you. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you seek out somebody you don't know and introduce yourself, because we're pleased that you're here. And we want everyone to feel at home here. One way to do that is by becoming involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You'll find lots of those opportunities listed in the bulletin insert. I'm going to lift up just a few. First of all, don't forget our choir concert on December 7th. You can read all the details in your bulletin insert. It's a tradition here, and I know you won't want to miss it. Also, we kick off Advent on November 30th, next Sunday, from 5:30 to 7 p.m. with our annual Advent Wreath Workshop and dinner. And the dinner is a potluck, so we invite you, if you come, to bring a side dish or a salad or a dessert to share, enough for your family and a few others. Families make Advent wreaths together Individuals do. Clusters of individuals do. It's a really, really fun time. It's down in McWhorter Hall. So next Sunday, November 30th, 5:30 to 7 p.m. We hope you'll join us. The offices of the church will be closed this Thursday and Friday in observance of the Thanksgiving holiday. And there won't be any Wednesday evening programming or dinner this week. No Wednesday night activities this coming Wednesday. No dinner or Bible studies as we are all preparing for the Thanksgiving holiday. But on that first Wednesday back, December 3rd, we have the Advent Collective as a part of our current series. It's in the four-story theater. The Advent Collective is really a series of performance pieces based upon characters from Advent. In fact, our own Nancy Hawthorne has written a brief play about John the Baptist, for example, and there are other pieces. So I hope you'll come at 6 p.m. following the dinner on December 3rd in the four-story theater. Also, if you have not had the opportunity to participate in the Legacy of Light and chosen a stained glass piece from the original windows that were here that have been repaired that will go into a brand new artistic stained glass piece, if you haven't had a chance to do that, there's a table in Reed Hall. You'll be able to talk to the folks at that table, and they will be glad to help you with that. So, everybody ready for Thanksgiving? Yeah, oh, that's what I like to hear. Well, you know, you better be, because it's not just Thursday. Every day is a day of Thanksgiving. Isn't that why we're here?
joyful noise to the Lord.
Worship God with gladness.
Come into God's presence with singing.
We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture.
Give thanks to the Lord. Bless God's holy name.
For God's steadfast love is present now and endures forever.
We are called to live in right relationship with God by loving one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins to the one who pardons all our offenses. Loving God, we confess that we have sinned against you by not honoring you or loving one another. When we ignore injustice in the world, our worship brings you no delight. Make haste to help us that we may stand in right relationship with you and the whole of your creation and sing your praises through the mercy of Christ, our resurrected Savior. Sisters and brothers, rejoice and be glad, for God is mighty to save and comes to you in peace, to forgive, restore, and strengthen you eternally in Christ. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Jennifer Lane Piper and Jason Dietz Osborne bring their daughter, Catherine Elaine Piper Osborne, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
And sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth by water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift, offered to us without price. And now, Dietz and Jenny, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? Will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And now, brothers and sisters in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Now pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. All righty, will you come to me, sweetie? Good. There we go. What name is given this child? Catherine and Lane, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you all want to lay hands on her, you may. The Holy Spirit work within you that being born by water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all your days. Amen. And we'll go back to Mommy. Here, there we go.
Will the congregation please stand and face Catherine Elaine?
What do you think about that, lady?
Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Catherine Elaine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Catherine Elaine. And we welcome you in Christian love, as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the Church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Child of blessing, child of promise, baptize.
let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Is our
Please be seated. And if there are other youngsters who would care to come join us down here, we are welcoming to you to come in and sit up front if you want to. If you want to bring a parent, that's okay too. Good. Come on down and join us. One of the most fun things in life, if you have some friends, and I'm lucky because I have you as friends, for example, is to introduce them to a friend that they don't know. And so I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to introduce you to my friend, Donald Davis, who's sitting right back there. He's a storyteller, but he is also the Reverend Donald Davis. When I met Donald over 30 years ago, he and I were both serving United Methodist churches. Now, I still am, of course, but he travels around the world telling stories to people and helping other people tell stories because we finally figured out that that's what God had called us to do, to tell stories and help other people tell stories. And I do that with you all week in and week out. And Donald did that for 25 years with folks in churches, week in and week out. And now, week in and week out, he travels around the world helping people to tell stories, to tell their own stories and other stories. And he does that by sharing his story with them. And that's what he's going to do today. He's going to talk a little bit about prayer. You just heard Lisa reading what Jesus told his disciples about prayer. And before Donald gets started, I want to say just one little brief thing about prayer. There is a woman who writes books. I like her books a lot. Her name is Anne Lamott. She says there are basically three kinds of prayer. The first kind is, help! We all know that one, don't we? Please help us, God. We don't know what to do. The second one is thanks. We're going to be talking about that a lot this week, aren't we? Because Thursday is Thanksgiving Day, right? But we can pray that prayer any day. It doesn't have to be just on one day of the year, of course. We can say thanks to God any day for all the wonderful gifts that are in our lives. And the third prayer is, wow! When you look around this world, when I look at all those faces out here, I want to say, wow, what a gift. What a wonderful world. What a wonderful group of people I get to be with. All of your faces. So, just remember that every day you can say one or all of these prayers. Help, if you need help. Thanks for all the things we've been given. And wow, at all the wonderful, wonderful people and things that surround us. So one of the things I'm thankful for is that I have my friend Donald to be here with me. And I think by the time he's finished, you'll be saying, wow. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for being with us, for helping us when we need help. Thank you for the people in our lives and the beauty of this world. Wow. We can't believe that your love for us is so great that we can't even imagine it. But we know it is because we have seen it in Jesus the Christ. Amen. Thank you all for coming down.
Well, another good morning to all of you. My first word to you today must be simply thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be with you as part of this sacred hour of worship and to join in your church community on this day. I was born in Waynesville, North Carolina, and then I went off to Davidson College, where the minister of the United Methodist Church at Davidson was a man named Russell Montford. That was 50 years ago. And largely under Russell's wonderful influence, I went down to Duke to seminary, and then 47 years ago was ordained as a United Methodist minister, after which I served in local churches for 25 years and then retired over 20 years ago now to travel all the time and tell stories. I must tell you that there are some things about church I do not miss. I don't miss finance committee meetings. I don't miss nominations. You know, I don't even miss charge conference. You know, but I truly miss being part of a consistent worshiping family Sunday after Sunday when I'm traveling so very much. So I deeply thank you and thank Michael for my presence with you today. Thank you so much for that. Let us pray. O Lord our God, hear the words which we fearlessly proclaim with our mouths, but hear also the silent and hidden secret words that rest deep inside our hearts. Help us to know that we have been heard and that you stand for us as our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The year was 1559 in England. For the 11 years prior to that, five different people had been on the throne. But now old Henry VIII is dead, Edward VI is dead, Lady Jane Grey is dead, Mary is dead, and at last Queen Elizabeth, the first Elizabeth, is in the opening year of her 45-year reign. So after England has spent more than a decade flipping back and forth, Catholic, Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, Catholic, Protestant, at last with the beginning of Elizabeth's reign, England is Protestant forever. The first agenda in that world, in that Protestant world, was the revision of the Book of Common Prayer so that we could now worship in our language, in English, rather than wandering around in Latin forever. The only problem was they did it by committee. And the committee that got hold of the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, had a terrible time struggling with this particular lesson from Matthew, which we heard read earlier today. There was the Lord's Prayer as it had been prayed in Latin in the Catholic Church prior to the Reformation, but what should that prayer be shaped like now? We all know the prayer. You know how it starts off, Our Father in heaven, and a whole list of things we're asking for. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But did you notice that I left out something? I left out the problematic second half of one of those verses. Jesus doesn't stop by saying, "Forgive us our trespasses." He keeps going. Here we come to that terrible word, "as," which means in the same measure that. And the whole line as we know it goes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And that wasn't enough. That didn't satisfy our Lord. When he got to the end of the prayer, he picked it back up again and started meddling. Because once the prayer is over, Jesus goes back to forgiveness again. He says, "For if we forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will forgive us our trespasses. But if we do not forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us our trespasses." It's very interesting if we look at the notes of work done by that committee. They actually said they thought Jesus had overdone it on forgiveness. And so instead of continuing those words on to the end, as we read them today, they cut them off right after "deliver us from evil," and in very typical Episcopalian fashion, they stuck in a doxology so we would forget about what came next. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever." Forget the next verse. Amen. But when we go back and read it, we can't forget the next verse because they are tied inseparably together. God's forgiveness of us is constantly linked to our forgiveness of those around us. It's not a holdout. It's not a holdout in any kind of way. It's simply that it doesn't work any other way. Forgiveness doesn't work unless it's balanced with forgiveness also on the other end. Well, you expect it, so I better tell you a story. When I was 5 years old, I loved to go shopping with my mama. But I don't think she liked to take me. Some days we would get up in Waynesville and my mother would say, "Let's go to town." By then I was in the car. She would drive into town, drive around and around and around till she found a parking place where she didn't have to back up. And then we would get out and go into a store. And as soon as we got in that store, do you know what my mama would say? "Don't touch anything. There is not one thing in this store that belongs to you, so you just keep your little hands off of it." She would say, "If you cannot control those little hands, just put them way down in your pockets and leave them in there till we go back outside again. You don't need to look at it. You don't need to think about it because we're not going to get it." And then you know what she would do after all that? She would get something. And I would say, "I thought we weren't going to get anything." And she would say, "That was you, not me." Well, pretty soon, if my mama wanted to go shopping in peace, she would not take me. Now, even back then, she couldn't just leave me at home alone. So what she would do is she would get hold of the telephone and she would call my Aunt Esther. Ooh, I loved my Aunt Esther. She was married to Uncle Mark, and they did not have any children, so she liked to borrow me. My mom would call her and say, "Esther, Esther, I need to go to town." And Aunt Esther would say, "You bring that sweet little child over here. He can stay all day." I loved going to their house because, see, since they didn't have any children, they had a very nice house. And we'd go out there and my mom would say, "Now you be good. You know how to be good. You have to be good. They have to say that, don't they?" And then my mama would go on to town, and as soon as she was gone, you know what Aunt Esther and I would do? We'd go to town. And we would go to every store where I wanted to go, and I could touch everything. I could play with toys and pick things up and open boxes, but the best two things I could do, I could whine and beg. And I would always get something. Well, a day came along when it was my birthday. It was the actual day when I was going to be 6 years old. We got up that morning, and before breakfast, the telephone, my mother said, "Who is calling us before breakfast? Somebody must be dead." No, it was Aunt Esther calling to ask if I could spend my birthday with her. Do you know, my mama liked to get rid of me even on my birthday. So we got in the car, went out to Aunt Esther's house. "You be good now, you be good." And as soon as my mama went back home, Aunt Esther and I went to town. We went to my favorite store. Now, it was not Toys R Us. It was the dime store. And I started playing with toys, and she came up behind me and she said, "Now, you may play with everything, but I have already decided what to get you. You're going to like this, and your mother will not get it for you. So I'm going to get it and keep it at my house, and you can use it whenever you come to see me." She picked up a box. It was green and yellow. Green on the bottom and top, around the middle, the color of yellow pencils. And that box had a strange word on it. It said, "Crayola." And right underneath that word, it said 64 colors. Ooh, I could open the little slanty lid. There was a row of little sharp crayons like a rainbow. Right above and behind them, another row. And 64 colors. And if you turned the box over, there was a little hole in the box. The sharpener. Where later on I learned how to sharpen crayons, then open the bottom of the box and get that stuff out so I could eat it. And you know, every color tasted the same. Well, she bought those crayons, and we went back out to her house, and she said, "Now, I'm going to go in the kitchen and fix your birthday cake. Why don't you just stay in the living room and draw pictures?" Let's think about that. The living room. 6 years old. 64 crayons. And she only gave me about 10 pieces of paper. That lasted about 4 minutes. And then I needed more paper. But I thought, I better not bother her because she's working on my cake. I'll just look around the living room and see where they keep their paper. I looked all over that living room, and there was no paper. But that was okay, because by then I had located a very good place to draw a picture. In their child-free living room, they had beautiful pictures on the walls. There was a picture of horses galloping through a meadow. There was a picture of a big mountain with a double waterfall coming down the side. There was a picture of little islands in the ocean with a sailing ship coming around. But on the other side of that living room, there was a spinet piano and no pictures on the wall. I thought, they need a picture over there. I can take care of it. And I went over there with my new box of crayons, climbed up on the piano bench, and right where it needed to go on the wall, I drew a large portrait of my Aunt Esther out in a flower garden in the midst of all the flowers. Do you know why I drew a flower garden? I wanted to use all 64 colors. And I did, too. I gave her yellow hair in that picture because I thought she'll like that. She's never tried that color. Blue eyes, big teeth, red lips, flowers. I even took the little gold crayon at the end, and I drew carefully the little squared frame around the picture. And when it was all finished, I could hardly wait for her to see it. When she saw the picture, you know what she said? Oh, oh, that is the most beautiful picture I have ever seen in all the world. And I never knew I'd done anything wrong till my mama came to get me. It was way up in the afternoon. By now I'd had a little nap, and I was in the kitchen watching her balance the candles on my cake. I heard my mama's car come in, and I thought, ooh, I'm going to go let mama in so she can see the most beautiful picture in the world. And I ran in the living room and opened the door and turned. Remember the picture I drew? You couldn't see it. While I was taking my nap, my Aunt Esther had secretly slipped in the living room. She had taken down the big picture of the horses, carried it across the room. She had driven a new nail in a plaster wall so she could hang that picture to totally cover up everything I'd done. Do you know, to this very day, my mama still doesn't know I did that. You think maybe my Aunt Esther saved the little boy's life? I got to take the crayons home with me. And the next time I was going to her house, she called on the telephone and she said I could come and I didn't need to bring back the crayons. You know, it took me a long time to really notice the real theological significance of that story. But one day I was thinking about it, and all of a sudden I realized that what she did that day was a model of God's forgiveness. You see, she didn't leave the picture just out in the open on the wall so that every time we went to visit, we sat down and she said, "Oh, look, remember that picture you drew last year? Remember that picture you drew 10 years ago? Remember that picture you drew when you were a little boy? I forgive you for it." No, no, no. She made it totally disappear, and it was gone. That's the way God's forgiveness works. What we did is not continually dangled over us. It simply is obliterated and wiped away. No one else in our family knew about that. One day we were there, and my Uncle Mark in the living room said, "Esther, why did you move that picture from there over there?" And she said, "I was tired of it being over here. It's time for it to be over there." And she actually got a new picture to put back in the original place. And from then on, I don't think anybody ever understood why I became her staunch defender. Because you can't have your life saved without owing something to somebody. And on that day, I learned about that balance part of forgiveness. If we expect our sins to be forgiven, our job is to extend things to the other side. We have four boys. When one of our sons, whose name is Kelly, was 6 years old, remember that age from another story? It was not his birthday. No, no. It was Halloween Day. And he was going through our house, which at that time was a Methodist parsonage, looking for things to use to decorate his room and to fix his outfit for Halloween. And as he was prowling through the doors in the kitchen, not even knowing what he was looking for, he opened a drawer in which lived what we call the markers. And they were not the washable markers. No, they were the ones with that long, horrible P word on them. And since it was Halloween, he only needed two colors, orange and black. And armed with those two weapons of artistic destruction, he started through the parsonage looking for a place to draw a jack-o'-lantern. Is evil truly genetic? Because when he got to the living room, he found what he was looking for. No, it was not the wall. It was what we always called the big white leather chair the old lady donated to the parsonage. Right where you lean back in the white leather chair, outlined in black, filled in with permanent orange magic marker, the world's ugliest snaggletooth jack-o'-lantern. And he came proudly to get me to show me what he had made. When I saw him, the first thing I thought was, how can I kill him so that no one will ever know we had him? And then all of a sudden, from 30 years before, my Aunt Esther's voice came back. And instead of killing Kelly, we sat down in that big old chair, and I told him the story I just told you. I got to the end of that story, and I said, "See, Kelly, way before you were born, my Aunt Esther saved a little boy's life. And that six-year-old theologian looked up at me, and he pointed to the jack-o'-lantern, and he said, "No, Daddy, she saved two little boys. For if we forgive others their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will forgive us our trespasses. But if we do not forgive others their trespasses, where is our Father going to stand for a beginning place to forgive us of our trespasses?" Amen.
I think the only appropriate prayer at this point is, wow. You know, we get a chance to tell our stories of faith as well, sometimes in the form that Donald just shared, and sometimes by repeating ancient words that folks have spoken across centuries. So I'd invite you to turn to number 881 in your hymnal, stand as you're able, and we'll tell our story using words that have been around a long, long time. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
We are so grateful that God has called us together for worship, and we welcome our new friends who are here as guests, and as well as very much welcome old friends and old family members who have returned to worship with us today. If you are a first-time visitor, we invite you to join us out the doors here to your right in Reed Hall to pick up a small loaf of bread for the journey. And that's an appreciation for worshiping with us this day. If you look in the pew racks directly in front of you, there's a small gray card. One side is for prayer concerns and joys, and you can mark that confidential or shared. And if you mark it confidential, it'll be held in the confidence of a few pastoral prayer circles. And if you mark shared, it'll be printed in the bulletin insert in future weeks. When the offering plate comes around in just a few minutes, you can place those in the offering plate. At the inside of each pew, there's an attendance pad. If you've not yet passed that attendance pad down your pew, I want to invite you to do that now. Sign your name, record your attendance, and then as it comes back by, open that up, look at the names of the people that you're worshiping with, and say hello to them after the service, and it's perfectly appropriate to call them by name. With that, let's prepare our hearts for prayer. May the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for all that you have given us, family, friends, and community, for our daily bread, for each breath we take, for the undeserved gift of forgiveness. Our hearts are truly overwhelmed with the magnitude of our blessings and the magnitude with which of the things with which you've entrusted to our care. We ask that we might be worthy of that trust, and we may be people who are unafraid to live as fully and richly as you call us to live. Help us as followers of Christ and your beloved children to become more aware in those kingdom moments, those moments when your love is present and recognized in and through each of us, just like it is in heaven. Help us be faith-filled in our desire to spread your loving light and goodness in the world. Make us ones who share in both our words and our actions. We pray for this congregation, this body of Christ that's gathered here today, that it may encourage all of its members to discover, develop, and use their gifts to affirm life across this planet. We pray for those who are poor in body and spirit, for those who are oppressed and heavy laden, for those who are sick or in despair. Use us through you to care for all those for whom we've prayed, and help us walk faithfully in the path of love through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together as one family. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our God has provided us with countless blessings and good things. Let us now participate in God's work by offering our tithes and our gifts.
Now go forth in God's love that creates a space for your own forgiveness as you extend forgiveness to others, knowing that God, the source of all forgiveness and love, Jesus Christ, who walked among us as forgiveness and love in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to follow in Christ's way, will be with you, not just this day, but each day and forevermore. Go in peace.